G'day, this is Mark Rafferty, also known as Dr. Darcy Tyler on Neighbours.
Alan Fletcher here, aka Dr. Carl Kennedy from Neighbours.
It is Kim Valentine here, or Libby Kennedy from Neighbours.
It is Jason Cruz here, also known as Nicholas Atkins.
And you're listening to the award-winning Neighbourhood Rewatch podcast.
The best podcast in the entire world.
JK, Adam, thanks for taking me down memory lane.
You are the best UK Neighbours that anyone could ask for.
Welcome to the Neighbourhood Rewatch podcast, the award-winning podcast that is sometimes about Neighbours. I am your host of Sarch JK, and as always, I have my co-host with me, Adam.
Hi.
And we are here this week to talk about episodes 9,012 to 15 of Neighbours, watched on Amazon Freevee. I'm still getting the German adverts on there. I think I mentioned this the other week.
Oh, really?
I get full German adverts every time I watch Amazon Freevee at the moment.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Thing? Have other people experienced this, or is this just you?
I don't know. I'm going to ask our dear listeners and watchers, if you're a Patreon, right now, what adverts do you get on Freevee?
I just get normal English ones.
I get German ones. I mean, I have mentioned... do you know like when they say your phone's listening to you?
Yeah.
I legit think it is, because... and we'll get to listening to phones as well later on. Because I am going to Germany this summer.
Oh, right. First I've heard of it.
Have I not told you about this?
No. What an asshole.
Yeah, this is going to be our little summer excursion. So Peyton's uncle lives in Germany. Right. He has like a big farmhouse outside.
I knew she was putting that Australian accent on.
He has like a big farmhouse outside Hamburg, and they have like a big summer party every year, big summer blowout.
Right.
We're invited this year.
Why haven't you been invited before?
That's a good question.
Because you've been with her for a while now, right? And you've never mentioned this. This is almost like we need to get some fresh characters in, or a completely fabricated storyline. What do you call it? A retcon thing? Is this one of them? She's not German at all. You've just made this up now.
So yeah, I think that's why I'm getting German adverts at the moment.
Have you bought your lederhosen yet? Because you'll buy one and think that's what all German people wear and turn up like, I don't know, a full yodeler or something. A yodeler's German? Probably not, sorry.
Yeah, I will go completely inappropriately dressed as always.
I mean, I went that way. As long as you don't dress up as something more inappropriate and German, you'd probably be all right.
So I mentioned that you could watch this on the Patreon.
You can't grow a moustache, can you?
No, I can't grow a
moustache. You've probably been fine then.
As you can see, a couple of weeks ago, I did try to grow a beard again. I do this every 6 months, maybe. I think, I can grow a beard this time. Maybe I'm old enough now to grow a beard. And then I try it, and it's horrendous. And then I shave it off after about 2 weeks. So if you were a Patreon, you would have seen that a couple of weeks ago. £1 a month will get you access to the video versions of this podcast. You'll get early access as well, so it'll be out a day or two before. And you get some bonus material as well. And there is some bonus material coming up, actually. Firstly, I want to say hello to two new patrons of ours. Thank you so much for supporting us. To David and Philip Wilden. Thank you so much for your support.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah. Honestly, so much appreciated. And you two have got yourself in for a prize draw.
We're doing another one.
Another, well, because the last one kind of didn't really happen. So I messaged Christy. Again, send a message out to Christy. Christy and I have messaged you again and said, you have won a t-shirt. Please let me know what you want on the Patreon.
Have you been as clear as that?
Yes. Okay. I thought, hi, Christine. Didn't want to ruin the surprise for you, but you have won. So please let me know, and then we can send you the prize.
Does she know who that's from? Hasn't contacted another Neighbours podcast now and said, where's my t-shirt? You've made it clear that it is for this one.
That's a good idea. We might start doing that.
That would be quite funny, to be fair.
So, Christine, that prize is waiting for you whenever you want to respond. But David and Philip, you're in with a chance for our Easter giveaway. So I think I said to the 3rd of April, if you become a Patreon, if you're an existing Patreon member before then, we'll put you in a prize draw and we'll do some merch for you again. And also, you'll get some bonus material I said before as well. There's a little bonus chat that we had with Charlie DeStefano that will be out on the Patreon as well. I think it's going to come out a day too early as well, so you'll get it over the weekend as opposed to Monday 1st of April for all you freeloaders. Our chat with Charlie DeStefano, yeah, it's loads of fun. Charlie is such a talented guy.
Yeah, I was not ready for how I love chatting to him, but I also hated him a little bit more as the chat went on because of how good he is at everything, and such a talented guy, and handsome and cool and just really likable, and yeah, oh, annoying.
Yeah, and it's and so young as well.
Yeah,
I think I said to him, I could never be as old. I could never get as confident and as good as you. As long as I lived. And he's already mastered it at 21.
Yep.
Bless him. What a guy. Charlie, thank you so much for giving us your time. One last thing. Did I mention I'm doing a marathon?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do, this is the part where I ask for a little bit more money. But this money isn't going to me or Adam, by the way. What? Not that Adam sees any Patreon money anyway.
What money?
But I am running for a charity, Wood Street Mission. I am doing this for, which is a children's and families charity in Manchester, helping out families who found themselves.
You went to see him, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, me and my son. My son helped me pick this charity. He realizes that he's quite lucky and has things that other children don't have. So he wanted to do something for children that don't have things that he has. So we picked Wood Street Mission as a good charity that help people and families in. Find themselves in situations kind of unexpectedly. It can happen to us all. You could be just...
Can we put in... So the next giveaway is in April. Your marathon is in April. Mm-hmm. Can we put in everyone who pays a pound in the Patreon in April? Can that money go to the charity as well?
Yeah, that's a good shout. I like that. So however many patrons we've got, I will put the money in from that into the charity. Cool.
But you want more money off them as well, don't you?
Yeah. If you do have a couple of quid lying around, it's on the link tree. You can go straight there. It's on Just Giving, and you can put some money in there as well. That'd be really, really grateful. Yes, I'm.
Is it reliant on you finishing the marathon?
No.
Whoa, hang on.
But that is not going to stop me, okay? Because. Okay. I realized I have backed myself into a massive fucking corner here.
100%.
And I now have no choice but to make sure I fucking finish this thing.
True.
Because there's too many people to let down if I don't.
Well, also, you've been like, you know, quite smug about the whole thing, so you have to finish it now. Otherwise, you'll be one of those people who says they're going to run a marathon but then keeps making excuses and never does. You don't want to be one of those people.
No, I've definitely moved out the smug phase, by the way. I am definitely in the terror phase right now.
Good.
I am very, very sore. I hurt every day. I'm regretting every choice I've ever made.
And you haven't even done it yet.
And I've not even done it yet.
This bodes well.
I am going to have to go to a very dark place on the day, I think.
And then probably for a few days after, I imagine.
Yeah, probably. But I've got friends and family there supporting. If you are in the Manchester area and you do want to come along, I will be wearing a Wood Street Mission shirt. It's bright red, so you'll be able to see me. I'll stick out like a sore thumb, as I always do in these situations.
Yeah.
But I've got friends and family coming supporting, including you, Adam, I believe.
I'm going to try and come down, yeah. I will be there at some point. I don't know where. It seems like a really big route. I was not expecting, it sounds silly, but I wasn't expecting the marathon route to be so big. Don't know where to go. I'll have to find a little spot that's probably near a bar or maybe a place that sells tacos, and then I will cheer you on, hopefully. Because I do, it is a cool thing. I am proud of you for doing it. Obviously, all the work you've put in, you're not just showing up, which is something that maybe the old JK might have done. He might have just turned up and gone, yeah, I can run a marathon. And realised very quickly that it's not as easy as that. I couldn't do it. I don't want to do it. So well done you. It is for a good cause. And I give you a lot of stick for it, but I do think you can do it.
Thank you. And if I hear a muffled chant in the crowd going, come on, come on. I know it's you with a mouthful of tacos.
Exactly. And if you can beat Tim, I will be even happier.
Right, should we talk about some neighbours?
I'd love to.
Let's talk about some neighbours. So let's talk about last week's cliffhanger with Felix and JJ. And it was the party for Felix, the Welcome to Ramsey Street party.
Yeah, I'd forgot this. Go on.
There's a couple of things I forgot this week.
A lot's
which
happened
we'll
this week. I said to you just before we came on, it has been a mishmash this week of all sorts of stuff. It's like they had a load of storylines lying about and they just thought, should we just throw them all in this week? And they went, yeah, okay.
Yeah, every range of emotion this week.
Yeah.
JJ has provided an alibi for Felix to say he was with me. He wasn't chatting with Charlie DeStefano down a dodgy alley about Robin places. And remember when I said to you last week, Andy won't believe this for a second, right?
Oh, yeah.
He believed it straight away.
Straight away. He's terrible.
Straight away.
He's awful at his job. He can't read people or anything.
Because he took him outside and I was like, this is where he's going to go. Like, listen, what the fuck are you two playing at?
Yeah.
This is clearly not what happened. What's really going on? And he goes, oh, so why didn't you tell us before then? And he went, oh, mums will shout at me. So I didn't. And he went, all right, fair. Seems legit.
Yeah. That's because he wasn't wearing his uniform, though. He didn't have his special police powers. He was just wearing his, like, colourful shirt, his party shirt. He didn't have all his police senses tingling or anything. Later on, we find out he has some other senses tingling. I was not prepared for this either.
But I'm glad this happened because it meant the party could continue. Because I was worried that would just, you know, that happens, record scratched, party stops, everybody out, and then we don't get the party. But thankfully, we do get the party.
What a party. It possibly was my favourite episode of Neighbours. It was so funny and ridiculous and all the good stuff. Just when you thought, I kept thinking, oh, that's a great line. I'll have to remember that line. There was another one and now I've forgotten more. So that's the problem with that. But it was so fun on Monday. I loved the party. It was so good.
It was good because you get to see Wendy being Wendy.
Yeah.
Wendy stressing about everything, about melon balls.
It was carry on neighbours, wasn't it?
Yeah, that ball juice got everywhere.
It was everywhere. Everyone was covered in it. It was.
So yeah, she's getting to be full party host, Wendy. I did see a lot of myself in Wendy this week as well, because she just kind of wants
for things to run smoothly.
And for everyone to go, oh, this is a great party, Wendy. Well done, thank you. Like she comes into a room at one point and then just kind of move something slightly to the side on the table and then runs out again.
Yeah.
That's absolutely kind of thing I would do. Like, all of a sudden, that is the most important thing that needs to happen.
Yeah.
With this
party.
Nobody
else cares, but she spotted it, yeah.
Yeah, she spotted it. She had, like, the party wouldn't have been a disaster if she didn't move that thing ever so slightly. And, yeah, the party's in full swing. It's a lovely day outside because it's Australia. So the party's out in the garden as well. The Barbie is going. Everyone's having a great time. And then we get another uninvited guest showing up to this party as well, in Jules, Felix's, I'm going to say girlfriend. They seem pretty official at this point. Yeah. She shows up in a red coat. Is it a red coat? Don't know why I'm obsessing over this.
No, I don't. It's not important.
And already looks like she's a couple of drinks in, to be fair.
The most important thing is the dress she's wearing. It's not the coat.
Well, yeah, the coat is there to hide something underneath, which is the exact same dress as Holly Hoyland is wearing.
Yeah.
Now, Holly has bought this dress especially as well because she's like, I look fire in this dress. This will turn heads, especially Felix's.
Does she say she looks fire in it, or is that something you say now?
No, I'm pretty sure she said that.
If she says it, brilliant. That fits in with her whole character and is something that a 22-year-old girl would say. If you ever say fire in real life, I will call you on it. And explain that you should not be saying that in your day-to-day life. Please don't. If your daughter says it, again, fine. If you say it, no. Don't do it. You cannot pull it off.
That would mean my daughter has to speak words to me. So
I'm not saying that to you to be harsh. I wouldn't be able to pull it off either, and I will never say that. I will also never tell like someone that they slay, because I am not friends with Beyonce. So how could it be if I was friends with Beyonce? Not like in any sort of like other capacity other than we were just pals, and like that'd be quite cool, wouldn't it?
That would be very cool. What do you think you'd be, what do you think you'd bond over?
I don't know, maybe like the latest show on Netflix or something. I'd just be like, did you watch Three Body Problem? And she'd be like, no, I need to catch up on it. I've seen the first one. It looks brilliant, but I've been busy doing, you know, being Beyonce. And I'd be like, whoa, wait till you get to episode 4. It really kicks off. And she'll be like, I can't wait. Me and Jay-Z are going to spend the weekend binging it. That's what it'd be like. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, give me a ring on Monday when you've watched it. And she'd be like, yeah, I will. And then she'd go, what are you having for your tea?
And then you go, did you watch it? You'll text them Monday going, did you watch it? She goes, nah, fucking, Jay-Z was buying some more art over the weekend. He went to a fucking art gallery, spent $15 million on a fucking painting.
She got
don't know what it is. God, where are we? So Jules thinks her and Holly are going to be best friends because they've got the same dress. And the party continues. But Holly is unaware that Jules is Felix's other half.
Yeah, they do a lot of, again, carry on Carter style stuff where she's talking to Felix, Jules is off with someone else, and they keep switching around so they're never like actually together at the time. Felix is he's being a bit sneaky here. He's obviously knows that Holly likes him, and he's being quite flirty because they talk about how, like, is it about going on holiday? No, they say something about going in a hot tub. What's better? It's about she's got loads of bikinis and things like that, and we all know one of her five moves of doom is get the bikini on. He's been a bit dodgy.
Felix is just enjoying this, isn't he, knowing his girlfriend's literally in earshot and that he's being chatted up by Holly, and he's just letting it happen. He doesn't at any point go, my girlfriend's over there, so like, can you just not do this?
He
has a little smirk, little look on his face the whole time.
I thought he'd go, shh, all right, she's over there. But there was none of that. It was literally just, I'm going to try and juggle both these.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to let this play out. And I didn't like that characteristic in Felix, that he should have cut this off earlier. So Holly does just basically just go, listen, do you want a shag? And then that's the point she goes, no, whoa, what the fuck is this going on here? Because she's been clocking this.
She was clocking it.
And she comes over and she goes, this is not happening. You are not going to ask out my man.
This because there's loads of other good bits. Holly shouts to Sadie, like, why don't you tell me, like, dodgy Uncle Felix had a girlfriend? And she shouts back, why are you trying to bank my uncle? It's disgusting or whatever, which is great. And then so Jules is kicking off. And then Wendy has made a cake, because of course she has. She's Wendy. She's excited to give everyone this cake, but unfortunately the only person who gets said cake is Holly Hyland.
Yeah, she does not get to taste it, unfortunately. She gets to have it plonked on her head. I mean, I thought they were going to go the face.
They should have gone face. I think they should have gone face. They should have gone face, but it was still good. I still laughed. I still cheered. I still did all the things, because I do love Holly Hyland. But I also, despite only just meeting her, and I think she's only been in a couple of scenes, Jules is great fun. Like, she could have easily been really annoying, I think, this character.
Yeah.
But I really don't think she is. Like, when she was talking, so she does all that, which is brilliant. Before that, when she's talking to, when she meets Aaron, and she asks him, is your name with two A's? And he's like, yeah. And she says, that's great. I love like names with more letters or with extra letters. Like, what a ridiculous thing to say to someone. What a mental line. I like names with extra letters. What is that even? And then she's like, well, yeah, but Jules with three O's wouldn't make sense. And she wouldn't be able to be a politician or something.
Yeah, she is so weird. Such a good little party kook, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would, like, I don't know how Felix is dealing with her. I mean, when you've been in prison, fair play. But, like, she's a bit much.
Yeah. I also like the fact she called Aaron Muscles as well.
Yeah, what a great nickname.
I love doing that. That is honestly, like, if there's one thing I could add to my repertoire is, and I do try and do this quite often, is give little people nicknames. Do you know, like Sawyer does in Lost? Nicknames. No, not little people.
Don't do that.
Give people little nicknames. Yeah. So you're like Sawyer does in Lost.
Yeah.
And he calls Hurley different, you know, Stay Puffed and all the time. Yeah. And he, you know, Doctor is
called Kate Freckles. She's got freckles.
And he has like a little nickname for everyone. Yeah. I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to be that kind of quick-witted and
well,
do that.
Well, you've done a course, haven't you?
I have done a course. I have completed the said course as well.
Have you got a certificate?
I have got a certificate, yeah. I've not printed it out yet, but I do have that. It is in PDF form ready for me to print out. So I am working on some material as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that I'm going to trial out on you, Adam, and probably the poor patrons as well. Yeah, so look forward to that. So yeah, she dumps cake on Holly's head and Holly's reaction is fantastic. Everybody around's reaction as well. Sadie and Andy are probably the pick of that. Of their just reactions to just, oh my God, that just happened. That's horrifying, but also amazing at the same time. And we are going to have such a good laugh about this once it's done. So the whole fallout from this happens. Jules gets off. Well, actually, no, a little bit. Sorry, rewind a little bit. Remy and Carrie are pretty annoyed about JJ spending time with Felix and when he hasn't really. So they start giving him the mom lecture about keeping secrets and why. And JJ's very much, well, screw your rules. Your rules make no sense.
He was like calling them hypocrites and things like that because obviously they've kept secrets and then told lies, but then a lie's okay if it kind of doesn't hurt anyone. It's to like save somebody from something. So, you know, there are loopholes in there. They're trying to make it sound very like clear cut, black and white with him. And he's like, well, it doesn't really work like that, does it? And that's not.
Yeah, I can understand JJ's frustration here because it isn't black and white. The world isn't black and white in that regard. It's, there is gray areas and sometimes you have to do things that may not necessarily be the right thing to do, but they might be the right thing to do in that moment. And they might stop something from happening on this, that, and the other. And I think the fact that JJ realizes that and Remy and Kara don't is...
Well, they're just being mums, aren't they? I think, like, it's not necessarily like that they don't get it. I think they're just very much in mum mode again. And then they've worried about Slade. They are worried about Felix. Understandably, if there's kind of like rumours that he trashed the cafe and all that kind of stuff going on. So I get it, but then, you know, this just kind of shows that parents aren't perfect either. They're real people who have these ideas, and then if they stop and thought about it, they probably go, oh yeah, we are kind of contradicting things a little bit. I don't know. I think it's all quite good. I think it's all like, it shows that they're all real people.
Yeah, it's not just JJ just being a shit teenager and just going, screw your rules, I don't follow your rules. Like, you can understand his frustration. And yeah, like you said, Remy and Carrie, you don't always get things right as a parent. I think they're maybe treating him a bit more like, they maybe could treat him more as an adult than they are. Because, you know, part of learning as well is making mistakes.
He didn't take that knife into school and get suspended, though.
He has done
a couple of things that's made him seem
I feel like he's probably not in enough trouble for that, actually, when you think about it. Yeah, it's good. It's all good. It's all very nuanced.
Yeah.
So Remy and Kara, they have a word with Felix and go, listen, you need to stay away from him. Simple as. And Felix goes, okay, no problem. I understand why. I'm not going to fight this one. The whole stuff with the cake happens and Jewel storms off. And she's like, oh, I'm throwing a rude party. And Felix is like, ah, don't worry about it, it's fine. And he's like, listen, I thought, because for a moment there, when he's being, throughout the party, he's just like, oh, maybe I can do good things. Maybe I can stay here and live this kind of life.
Well, he does some good jokes and innuendos with like Byron and everything as well, because they're taking the piss out of him for that. And then he almost like feels part of the street. He's one of the neighbours now. His brother's there, his family's there, and he's meeting new people. He, Hollylock takes the shine to him. He's like, oh, you know, maybe I could stick around. And obviously he liked being that role model for JJ as well. And JJ's just helped him out with the alibi. Maybe he can stick around, but no.
No, yeah, he's almost convinced that, like, for a second, oh, I could live this life. And but yeah, I think the Remy and Kara thing tips him the other way and goes, no, I'm never going to be welcome here. So he says to Jules, don't worry, I'm going to get some fast cash, and we're going to fly right out of there.
To the Philippines, to go snorkeling. To the
Philippines, yeah, to go snorkeling and bobbing for apples. And I'm going to do that by robbing the school / construction site. You know he says that out loud, and you know, I knew someone was going to be waiting, but I actually didn't think it was going to be JJ. I thought it was going to be someone different. But yeah, it turns, you know, the camera swings around, and it's JJ. And he's just like, "You lied to me! Can't believe you lied to me!" So they instantly go back. So like the next scene is them in an alleyway again together. So
Felix is in a lot of alleyways.
Yes, I don't understand the thought of. I've just found another secret. Let's go watch this alleyway over here. To, like, you could just walk a bit further down the street. Like.
Alleyway just seems dodgier, doesn't it? Like, yeah. So he's best work in an alleyway.
Yeah. They talk about it and he's just like, listen, I need to do this. JJ kind of comes up with this story. He's like, oh, I need to go. And JJ's like, oh, you've got people after you. And Felix goes, yeah, people after me. They want money. So I need this fast cash.
Stop trying to say fast cash if it is tricky. Don't keep trying to do it to yourself. Say money quickly if you want to. It's fine. It means the same.
Money quickly? That's just money.
There you go. There you go.
That's a joke for you.
You've done the course.
So he's like, listen, you need to have my back here. Do you have my back? And JJ's talking it over. He's thinking it over. He goes to see Andy. Remy and Kara give him another lecture, and that's when he kind of like, your rules are stupid, this and the other, and he's just like, do you know what, yeah, I am going to stand by you on this, in this one. You're doing what you need to do. Mum and Ma have got stupid rules. He tells Dex the same thing as well, and I'm going to stick by you on this one, and he will stay quiet. Yeah, and that's where we leave it. He's got his back, and Felix is very happy about this, and surely next week we get to see the plan.
I think you might even see the robbery by the end of next week.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think this is what's going to have come next week, is we're going to get this robbery.
Yeah.
How do you think it's going to go down? Do you think it will be successful, or do you think it will go wrong?
I think they will get away with something. I think someone will be caught in the act, maybe JJ. I can imagine that, like, somehow he gets, for some reason he thinks he's helping, because bless him, that'd be good if he got kind of caught there. Maybe Slade drops him in it, if Slade's there again. I think JJ's going to get the blame for the robbery, or caught at the robbery. That's what I think is going to happen.
You think?
Ooh. What do you think?
I think, and this is a little bit of information because we've spoke to somebody.
Okay.
Because we did speak to Charlie, and he did say, whatever is going to happen, you're going to have a good laugh.
Well, that's... So,
it could mean anything. Could mean anything. I'm interpreting that as he's going to double-cross Felix. But it's going to end up biting him and Slade in the ass.
Okay.
He's going to try and double cross him. It's not going to come out, and he's going to look like the fool and probably get caught for it, I imagine.
Okay.
That is my prediction for that. But we'll just have to watch next week, won't we?
Watch and see. We'll be watching it.
We'll be watching it, yeah. I don't need any spoilers. Don't need next week on. I'll just watch it next week. I watch Neighbours. That's what I do.
That is what you do.
That's what I do. Yeah. I watch Neighbours and run marathons. Can we get that as a t-shirt?
Yeah, probably. No one will buy it.
We didn't think anyone would buy a Lynn Scully Lamb t-shirt, but somebody did.
Thank you if you were that person. Still don't know who it was. What a legend.
Still no one brought our Ground Lou.
No, some of your ideas were unbelievably bad, though. Like, so bad.
I think I watched that. I think I watched the Air Jordan documentary, the film with Matt Damon, and And I got a little bit carried away. I was like, oh, we should do a sports brown. How about Grand Blue?
Made no sense.
Because he was always fucking falling on his ass.
Made no sense. It was awful. It was the worst one you did. And there was some jumpers.
Anyway, but if you do want to have a look at it, at least, Redbubble, I believe there's a sale. There's always a fucking sale on Redbubble at the moment. Neighborhood Rewatch, Redbubble. You can go buy some of our shit if you do choose to.
Yep.
Right, I want to talk about Stadium Byron, because this is kind of in the party as well.
Yes, it is.
So, did I miss something last week?
Probably.
Because they're just discussing their first date during this party. And I didn't know they'd decided to do this. It's just, yes, this something just happened once they got a couple of drinks in.
So someone said this on the interweb. Someone was like, did something get cut? Was there a scene? Because it does kind of go from the stuff at the longest lying and where they're like, oh, where Nicolette kind of spots that they are obviously like they like each other and that. There was never actually a conversation, I don't think. It's just kind of, you almost join it like it's already happened, which I don't mind, like, because that kind of shows that there's things going on in the street that you...
Yeah.
That makes it seem more real. Like, we didn't see that. And it wasn't... For me, it wasn't done in a sense of, oh, they've cut something out. It's like, oh, they've... Like, it was... I didn't mind
yeah,
it this
they've
time.
Just, they've just decided, yeah, they are into each other.
Because that shows that, yeah, they probably did go and hang out after the lie-in. Like, we never saw them go and hang out after the lie-in, but that's why Sadie quit. So there you go. That's probably what's happened. We are kind of assuming, but it does all kind of make sense to me.
So, yeah, they've decided they're going to go on a first date, but they don't know what that first date is going to be. And they're discussing potentials. Nicolette sees this and goes, ha-ha, knew you two were into each other.
Yeah.
She's like, well, yeah, we are, but can we just keep this from mom and dad for the time being?
Yeah.
In the party as well, Nicolette decides to drop the bombshell to Felix that he was an escort, for which gets lots of nice little jokes in there. They have a good little back and forth about that. And then Andy's like, oh, I wanted me to ask you about this, mate. Have you got, you know, tips or tricks? Or
this was advice? A little bit later, wasn't it? Like, asking for some tips. Like, and it, because I thought it was, that was funny as well. And that, because you don't see Andy Rodwell like that, because he's always, his phone goes and he's got to solve the crime or sort it out all the time. That's more or less what he's had to do. He's done the Felix stuff. That was funny that he was getting to be a real person as well and ask. And it's funny, because he's asking what he doesn't know is his daughter's new boyfriend. He's going to be a boyfriend. And four tips on how to seduce a lady and give her a good time and everything like that. I like all that. I think that's really good. And then Byron's very uncomfortable about this.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you're my possible new girlfriend's dad. This is weird. And we don't see what tips he gives him. But then we find out that whatever they were.
Great tips.
Definitely worked.
I want to know what those tips were.
Yeah, definitely. Because Wendy Rodwell, we know Wendy Rodwell's a little bit, you know, good to go. She is having a great time.
Three times.
And then she wants her to go for the next time. And Andy's like, well, I've got to go to work at some point. I've got to solve all these crimes. And she convinces him to not go to work just yet.
Yeah. That is some resilience right there. I might need to tap into that summer resilience for the marathon, I think.
You running a marathon?
I don't know if I mentioned it, but yeah. I might need to tap into some of that resilience.
Do you want to talk about their actual first date? Because eventually they do come to the kind of decision between them that they want it to be a special one. They want it to be a nice, romantic kind of occasion. And it definitely becomes an occasion. It is a little bit something else.
Yeah, I really like this because this seems real as well. They've got this...
This seems real. It's somehow kitted out Downton Abbey in about 10 minutes and got these elaborate costumes. This seems real, he says.
No, because it's... We'll park the costumes and the scenery for a moment. Okay. But these two are just starting out. They've got a funny little in-joke where Byron says, "M'lady," and this, that, and the other, and acts like a posh gentleman. So they've run with that, and I think that's quite cute.
Yeah.
And I think that is maybe something that's quite, you know, when you first night together, you kind of cling to those little things of little jokes and so on.
I mean, we've been doing this for 2 years, and we still cling to all the in-jokes.
And then he's used his, like, he's would have had to dress up loads of times in his past profession. So he's... he probably knows a couple of people who go, "Listen, don't ask why, but I need a fucking Roman suit, right, in the next hour.
Can not you sort Roman. Out? He's not Roman. Roman.
I know it's not Roman. It's Bridgerton, whatever, and Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
But, like, he's probably got a guy who go, "Listen, they want Egyptian this week. Can you sort me out?" Like, he's probably got a guy who's helped him with all this. So he's managed to set all this up. They've cleared the pizza boxes away.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's this, it's Downton Abbey. And they're having a lovely little dance. He fucking whacks himself on the couch, does his hamstring a little bit, but he powers through.
They didn't need to do that.
No, I thought it was cute. I thought he showed that he was...
They didn't, like, it. They didn't need to do that. That was like, what? He's hurt himself while waltzing? No, come on,
Just do the waltz. No, I like the fact that maybe he is kind of blagging. Like, he's not as world...
What? No, you mean, you are right. It's the fact that he's not overly confident playing this role because he does actually like this girl. It's not just, I'm doing a job and getting paid, whatever. This isn't an act. Well, I'm wearing the stuff, but it's not an act. I do genuinely like you. That's the whole point. And she's loving all this, isn't she, as well?
Yeah, there's so much chemistry between these two. And the date starts going where inevitably dates generally end up going.
Really? First dates? It's only a first date, this.
Yeah, but they've already...
I know they have, but this is a first date. I thought we were taking it back and being romantic, not going straight to wherever they go to.
No, I've seen some of those shows. I've seen Moll Flanders back in the day.
Ooh.
They did not wait till the first date, I'm telling you.
No, true.
It's a nice 90s.
Could have gone somewhere, though. Like if you were going to do a romantic one like this, could he have got all the paraphernalia and the costumes and done something nice at Lasseter's Lake under that bandstand? I can see him dancing under that and having a nice time and like a romantic evening. Not like you say, dodging a load of pizza boxes and doing it on the sofa before Haz gets back from the coffee shop. Like, where's Trevor? Dog hairs everywhere. Where is Trevor? This has killed him. I mean, we'll get to it, but he's not been seen for a long time.
No, we have not seen that dog since he came back.
No.
And it's like we forgot that they didn't write him out.
Gone, that dog. Doesn't even get a mention. Misha Barnes had more mentions this week than that dog. And I was hoping she'd been killed off. She hasn't.
They start getting down to it. And Andy walks in. Can't remember why. I don't know why he's walking in that house. I don't know. Some people, I mean, that's just what you do in Australia, isn't it? People just walk into your house.
There'd be no reason for him to just walk into the house. He was probably, the theory was, he was probably going in to thank Byron for the tips. Byron, unfortunately, giving other tips.
Yeah, yeah. He was trying them out on his daughter. Yeah, just walking into people's houses, that's a strange occurrence, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so odd. Like, imagine someone just walking into your house, dropping off an Easter egg and leaving. It's so strange.
That literally happened just before we recorded him. By the way, my dad decided to walk into the house and just drop off some Easter eggs for the kids.
And I said, I was like, more than happy to go, "You know what, we'll do this in a little bit." And he was like, no, that's it, I'm going.
No, he's like, no, I've got no interest in staying.
No.
I've dropped 2 Easter eggs off for the kids. Don't eat them.
I'm off to Blackpool, see you later.
He's off to Blackpool for the weekend. See you later. So that's it. Andy sees them and then goes, "Oh, shit," and just
walks on. It because I think there's going to be some awkwardness next week.
Yeah. And they've mentioned it a little couple of times as well, like, "Oh, shit, I don't want to see Andy," or "I don't want to," you know. They're skirting each other at the moment because it is just too awkward.
I would have liked him. Like, I don't mind him catching him or whatever, but I would have liked them to maybe sneak around a little bit more and get away. Like, maybe they almost catch him a few times. and you think they're going to catch them and they don't. I would have liked it to maybe do another week or two before they actually caught them.
Yeah, it would have been good if Wendy nearly caught them.
Yeah.
It'd be good actually if Wendy is the one who figures it out and not Detective Andrew.
That would make sense. Yeah, they didn't need to rush that, I don't think.
Yeah. But it is where it is. So
I'm looking forward to it next week.
So, Haas then. Let's get talking about old Haas.
Okay, so Haas, we liked him when he first came, couple of weeks. We stopped liking him for various reasons that I can't even remember now. We kind of,
though, pretty much the entire fan base as well.
Yeah, true. Then they did the stuff with the dog and everyone to try and make you care for him a little bit more. And a few people got back in with the dog because it was quite good how he was upset. And then he got the dog back. We don't know where the dog is now. Then he got with Mac in the end. And some people liked it. Some people were a bit... And then recently we had the break-in at the cafe. This is after he'd been a hero a couple of times as well. He saved Mel from Slade. He saved Holly from Eden. All our pals who were all bad boys. Haas keeps sorting them out. The coffee shop got trashed. We found out that it was him.
Yeah, I like that. We're still not, even a week later, we're still not 100% sure. I've got an idea where I think this is going.
Well, we did this last time, so the kind, like we see the footage, we see that it's either him or someone who looks like exactly like him who has done this. And the internet was blowing up because it was like, oh, what's going on? This is a bit of a mystery. This is weird. What's going on? Neighbours fans like a mystery. They like things that are weird. We are essentially Neighbours fans as well, so we also like those things. And people were like, is it Evil Twin? That was one of the options. Yeah. What did we say? Because we kind of decided what we thought it might be. Did we go with Evil Twin or did we think something else?
No, because they kept on suggesting things in the dialogue in the show.
Yeah.
So someone asked him about his brother and he was like, oh, some people say he's just like me.
Yeah.
And I think that was them going, ah, it's not this one.
Okay.
We're poo-pooing that suggestion right now.
They also did the kind of, is somebody watching us thing?
Yeah.
And I liked that to a certain degree. And I think that is the way we should be. That's what we should be thinking about.
Yeah, because I think so too.
It seems to me that maybe it's so... I'm almost thinking, and it won't be this. It might be. It's Neighbours. I'm almost thinking he might be a spy of some kind, like a secret agent or something. I think that's what he might be now, because he can scrap a little bit. We've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's quite handy.
You know when, I don't know, you'll know better than me, because I don't really like James Bond. I've seen a lot of him. You are a big James Bond fan. You were always
still hoping to get that role, by the way.
Yeah, it's possible. You know when, the one where he's done... He's taking a break and he's like off in hiding or something. It might even be like the first Daniel Craig one or the second Daniel Craig one.
He does that a lot, James Bond. He goes, I'm done.
Yeah, he's done. And he goes off somewhere, but he can't escape his old life.
Yeah.
I think it's to do with that. It doesn't explain why he trashed the cafe, but I think because he's upset because Mac sticking a nose in again. I can't, I'm just sorting out. I'm sorting out all these cameras. Why? It's not your business.
Yeah, he's not asked you to. He has specifically told you not to. And that you actually want that.
Yeah.
But she's going to have done it anyway.
And she's in the kitchen. She hasn't just said, I've arranged for someone to come and sort out some cameras. She's in the kitchen of his business when he is not there sorting this out. No.
Yeah, no, that's
rude.
Yeah, no, that is really bad. That is overstepping a boundary. His reaction isn't great either. Because he does this. When he's really upset, he kind of pulls this face.
He does.
And he pulls that face instantly and then just goes, no, I told you specifically, I do not want this. You've wasted... Sorry, Miss CCTV woman. You wasted your time. Get out. And see, now you've put it that... See, you always do this for me. My instinct is to feel sorry for Mac. Every time, I don't know why, it just is. But then you say something, and I go, yeah, that was a dick move, actually. She should not have done that.
Because you are, she's one of the people in the show that you are supposed to like the best. Because of what happened, like, before when Hendrix died, because of what she's been through, because of how she's supposed to look is good guy, helpful, nice, kind, all those things. And she does have those qualities, but every week she gets involved in someone else's business when it is nothing to do with you. No.
Yeah.
And don't be annoyed at people when they react poorly to that. Like, you've done the wrong thing. No. So he's not happy about that. He's not. He's keeping an eye out around the complex.
Yeah, he's like, he's staring at people who thinks as, I don't know. I wasn't sure if this scene was meant to make you think that Haz is paranoid, or they really are after him.
Yeah.
Because there's some people kind of looking at him. They're looking at like a leaflet or a photo or something.
Yeah, some sort of pamphlet for something, yeah.
Yeah, and they're looking at him and they're like, and he's looking back at him. He's going, what's your deal? What's up with you? He's distracted. And it's later revealed that he has tapped everyone's phone.
I love it. Like, at this stage, before that, I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then when he did that, and the shot they did is so, like, I don't know, like, hacker. He's a hacker of some kind, or he's a serial killer, or a dodgy guy, or whatever it is. The way they did it, and he lit it, so he's like, he's got the headphones in, and he's just watching, like, spy cam, whatever it is. And as soon as that happened, I was like, yes, what is he going to do? He's a secret agent. But what? But if he was a secret agent, why has he tapped his girlfriend and his housemate's phones? Why? They're not people who would be out to get him in any way. They're the people he lives with. So I don't understand why he's tapped their phones. If he tapped, who could he tap? Half the cast aren't there. If he taps, like, Toadie, who's a lawyer for someone, to hear a deal, like, something like that. If he taps Andy Rodwell, the police, okay. I mean, we might find out that he is tapping more people, because this week, we'll get to it, Leo's phone's gone missing this week.
Yeah, because there's a lot of mentions of people, oh, I don't know where my phone is.
Yeah. I mean, you always do know where your phone is.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. And if you don't, there's plenty of apps to just go. Yeah. Like, I can do it on my watch. I can find it on my watch.
Yeah. Where do you think this is going then? What do you think they're doing with this now? What did you think last time? Did you think?
I thought he was.
Personality? That was an option. So.
Yeah, split personality. I think psychopath/split personality, I think, was where I was landing on.
Sleepwalking was at one point, like we're saying. We're trying to think of something, but what do you think now we've got this week's revelation?
So I think now that he is a psycho. I think he did smash the place up himself because he is a bit of a psycho.
Yeah.
But I think he's trying to, because I think someone's hacked into the CCTV that he did have. The secret CCTV that he did have, and has found out it was him who did it, and he's trying to now find that person on his own. I think there's, because we said before with the Felix and I want to say Charlie, no, with Slade, I think their storyline's probably going to conclude next week. So we're on the hunt for a new bad guy, I think. And I think the next bad guy is going to be some sort of hacker.
Okay.
And I was going to save this to the end because this is the kind of cliffhanger for the week, but I'll bring this in as well, is that Aaron gets a phone call and it's David's voice on the other end. I think there's some sort of cyber nerd hacker person fucking with residents.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. I think you might be right. And that kind of explains all the technical issues that happen in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain degree, it kind of goes with the phone thing, and I'd forgot about the fact that so Haz had done it, possibly, but then he got that message from someone saying, "I know about you."
Yeah,
So he could be. I would like the idea if we think it's Haz is really bad, but then it turns out there's someone else who's doing things.
Yeah, I think where it'll go is people will find the tracking stuff, either Mackenzie or Byron, and go, oh shit, it's Haz doing all this. And he'll go, no, it's not me. I'm on the hunt for the person who is doing this.
Yes.
I think that's where it'll go.
Is it going to be his sister?
That'd be pretty lame. I'd like it to be completely someone not associated with anyone.
What would be really good? If it's like a really like a bad guy who's really cool, but who also likes like chatting and having a joke with people who like the show Neighbours.
That'd be really good, yeah.
I mean, we've found a couple so far. It'd be nice to find another one.
So yeah, that's where I think that is potentially going. I did think though, like, so he is listening to Byron and Mackenzie's conversation. I think he's doing that because that's the only two phones he could get access to at that time. I think maybe as we go along, he might get access to other people's. I think he's maybe put someone on Christa's as well.
Because she does live in the house. So, yeah, possible.
Yeah, so I think I think he's trying to find out who this is. And I think he's just maybe very paranoid, thinks it's someone close to him. Even his potential girlfriend, which is not healthy.
No. Why do you think he's so paranoid, though, as well? Do you think he has done things in the past? Do you think he has got a past? He's got a past, right?
Yeah, he's got it. I think that's why his sister's come in, to help reveal some of that. But yeah, I've no ideas what that could be. He seems like a very intensely kind of private person. And I don't know what would make you that kind of way. Maybe he had no privacy in his family life. Maybe
he also helps Christa this week with the laptop and so he is technical. Yeah. So that shows that
So I think he might have done something there as well. That might have got him into the Laster's mainframe. Who knows?
Maybe he could have maybe worked for a big company and something went down and maybe he stole millions through bitcoins or cyber stuff and now someone's tracked him down, and that's why he's always got his head on a swivel.
How did he make his money to get this cafe? Yeah. I like all of this because like I said, with the Trevor stuff and the dog, they were clearly trying to redeem a character that they'd wrote pretty badly.
Yeah.
And not wrote in a good light. And then I think they've maybe just gone, let's just make him a dick.
That's what you gotta
do. Let's just lean into it and go, yeah, this guy is a dick. And I think I don't see him and Mackenzie staying together at any point. I think he's going to do something pretty horrendous to Mackenzie in the end.
Well, I think they'll just split. I don't know if it'll be something horrendous, but I think she'll just find out he's hacked a phone and just think he's being like jealous boyfriend, whatever, and that'll be the end of that.
Because I think Mackenzie was realised, like, when he shouted at her at the cafe, I felt sorry for her. But I think she was realizing for the first time, shit, I don't know this guy that well.
Yeah,
this is a side I've not seen of this person. And she says that to Byron as well, because Byron's like, it's Haz, he's angry. She says something like, angry isn't his usual state of mind, he'll be fine. And she's just like, this was on another level, this.
Yeah, don't go in his kitchen like of his business when he's not there. Trespassing, stop being so rude.
Yeah, no. I think he's going to end up hurting her pretty badly.
The good thing about it is, like, sometimes we go, we all can see where this is going. We don't know. And it's nice to talk about.
Yeah.
If you got a podcast, it's nice to, like, chat about things. We don't know anything. We do try and stay away from spoilers as best we can. And it's nice to chat about it. So if you've got any other ideas or if you agree with any of ours, hit us up on the socials and everything. You can post your comments. What do you think?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about one more storyline?
One more storyline. And, yeah.
I don't think this was really well done, I think. I think some of this was really good. The performances were really good. However, I'm going to get the moany bit out of the way, then we can just talk about it. I don't think they needed to do this week or yet. I think we are not far away enough from David going, which was a big emotional thing that lasted a week or two, whatever. I think this week had the fun stuff, like at the party and the Felix and JJ and the robbery. That's a big dramatic storyline that's going on at the moment. Then we've got Haz which is just kind of, we're still in the early stages, but we're trying to find out something about him. I don't think we then needed this week. I mean, I thought this would maybe happen or something like this at some point, but I think they could have waited another month or two for this, and it, because for this week, like I said at the start, it's been a real mishmash this week, and I didn't not like this, but I don't think it fit with what's going on in Neighbours Land at the moment for me.
See, I'm going to disagree with you. I liked it that there was both ends of the spectrum this week. And I think as well, life doesn't go that way sometimes as well. Sometimes things do just kind of go bam, bam. Like you have, you know, some person might be having the greatest time of their life and somebody's at an absolute rock bottom.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that there was these two disparities. And I think life does happen like that sometimes.
It does. Yeah, I think you're right. Definitely. I would just argue that it'd be like the people who this involved were obviously Krista, Paul, Leo, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Nicolette was there a little bit, whatever. But they've just had a big one where it's an awful dramatic storyline. Could they not have, like, they've just come out as Aaron involved?
Yeah.
Could we have just kind of let these go for a little bit and let somebody else have the big painful storyline this week? It just felt like, I know, like, shit things happen one after the other as well, so that is true. But I was just like, oh, it's these same people going through another awful thing. And I've just laughed at someone with cake on the red. It was just, I know you are totally right with like courses, like it works like that. But I was just like, it was a bit of a clash for me in the same week.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I understand that.
Do you want to talk about this bit then? So what was kind of the backstory for this? What was kicking off? So first of all, there are technical difficulties. Also, a little bit of a moan. Why would the building manager be now suddenly on the computers?
No. Yeah, it's stupid. And I like the fact they addressed that as well.
They did. They did in the end. Because you wouldn't even ask her to get on it. It would make no sense for someone who can screw a table back together to also know the ins and outs of the technical programs of a Lasseter's computer system.
And it's clear she's not volunteered for this either. She's not going, oh, yeah, I'm all right with computers. I know I'll have a little go for you. Mm. She's just gone, why the fuck am I doing this? I use a saw.
It made no sense.
I also like this. I forgot that Chelsea and Cara are sisters.
Yeah, I did.
I completely forgot this. They're related.
They've not spoken to each other for at least a month. No,
because Chelsea's been so ingrained with the Paul stuff.
Yeah.
You forgot. I was like, oh. My thought process went, I've never seen these two together. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought that. I thought, why is she doing what she says?
Oh, yeah. So stuff's going wrong. But Krista is shining, though. She, Paul has got nothing but praise for her. She's now taking on some HR duties as well. She's now firing somebody. Glad it wasn't Katrina.
No.
But I'm glad there's an entire workforce in Lasseter's that fucking hates it and wants to do as little as possible.
You've only got, like, it's literally, if you're not Byron or Holly, you hate your job and you steal from it and you do all these other dodgy things and are just terrible at your job. I mean, that's probably the case in most hotels, to be fair.
Yeah, I can't imagine you get treated very well in hotels. Like, I've done some shitty jobs, but I've never gone anywhere near a hotel.
No, that's like the next level, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the real next level of shitty jobs. And I've actually had to take shit out of toilets before now as well.
There you go. You know.
I spent an entire Saturday afternoon doing that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. We told you then, and you wouldn't believe us, but you were like, no, this is...
And I was in a position of quite authority at that point as well. Like, I was like two steps up down from the CEO.
You were the Chelsea Murphy. You were the assistant to the manager. And it was just like, why are you doing that? You're like, well, if I don't do it, no one else will.
You were like, maybe a plumber?
Maybe Angie Notison.
Maybe Angie Notison, yeah. Yeah. If you're not enjoying your job and you're getting all these rules put on you, then...
This is it. I mean, even if you are destined for greatness in said job, if you just make a few changes, you just, like, don't do it. Like, it's what I would equate to is if you're at a disco... And what you don't want to be is the last one at the disco. Like, when when the lights come on and you see how sticky that floor is, it's time to go up.
Sage advice there from you, there Adam. You Sage advice. If you're having work troubles as well, I think you should listen to that advice right there. So, yeah, she's firing. I can't remember what the girl is. I want to say Penny, but then.
I was going to say Penny.
Yeah, I want to say Penny, but then I'm like, oh shit, am I just misremembering?
Go with Penny.
Names. We'll go with Penny. So Penny's getting fired for being shit and stealing and all the stuff. And Chelsea's constantly sniping at this point as well. Well, Chelsea's like, well, you can't just fire her. And she's like, well, to be honest, she's had 3-1s. This is the last strike. She's out.
Who's trying to fire her?
Chelsea's trying to... Well, Krista's no, she's...
Krista's trying no, to Krista fire
is trying to fire her, but Chelsea is sniping at Krista going, yeah, well, have you got your HR sorted? Yeah. She's like, yeah, I've got it all sorted. It's, you know, we're not going to get sued for this. And she's like, well, we're going to be short-staffed. And she's like, well, can't just have people being shit. You can't accept that, so...
What is your current thoughts on Chelsea? Before we get to what happens, what are your general... Because my current thought is, unfortunately, I am starting to think that every line that she says is a contradictory... Like, it is a snipe. It's something at Paul. Like, Paul will say something, and then she will immediately say, no, what about this? Or we need to think about this. Or what about this? And every line she says now is
contrary to what the other person said.
It's coming across... I know it's supposed to. I know she's like that. But I think that at the moment, it's every line now. Every line she says. There's no way Paul now would... She's literally arguing every point he makes. She's visibly like doing it to Krista as well, and Kara to a certain degree. Every line now is just, I'm a bit of a bitch. And I don't think every line needs to be like that. It's killed it a little bit for me this week.
I felt like Chelsea was smarter than that, and she was more above that. Like, she would... She's not down to just sniping and just talking shit about people to other people. I felt like she had better plans. Like, no, she's trying to get herself into Paul's will. I feel like her grander plan doesn't include talking shit to Krista all the time.
No, it got a bit sidetracked in like a kind of the trying to make her seem as like the baddie of the piece or whatever. But I think... You don't need to do it every line, because then you just everyone would spot that she's being a baddie, really. Like, you can't do it like that. Like, at the beginning, it was a bit more subtle and a little bit more sneaky and every so often, but now it's every line. You just go, no.
Yeah, like, and the way Paul's just, he doesn't kind of see it. It's because he's... Sleeping with him, I don't know. Like,
maybe.
I don't think he'd take that off anybody else. He'd just go, no, you're an idiot, shut up. I know what I'm doing, I'm Paul Robinson.
And a lot of it, like, you got to remember as well, a lot of her, when she says, oh, what, we need to do this. This is a HR problem. This is, I'll do the presentation. No, you've got no credentials, qualifications. You haven't finished a comedy course. You've done nothing. Why are you getting... You have no say in any of this. So it's started to wind me up a little bit this week.
Yeah, and after what she does as well, I've never seen a guiltier looking person in my life. Her face just screams, I did shit. And I'm worried about it.
I don't know what the kind of reaction was to this. Because it didn't seem enough to me. For someone who's this awful thing has happened that you've caused by accident, like it wasn't.
Yeah, she never
planned to do this.
Yeah, she's never gone right. I'm going to lock that.
I don't think she was upset enough about this, because if we're trying to make it clear, like she's trying to do all this dodgy stuff and she's not nice, but she didn't mean it to go this far, because she didn't. She wouldn't have wanted that. I don't think there was much, I don't know, remorse. There wasn't really much there.
No, she texted the kids, didn't she? She went, oh,
yeah,
love you. And then that was kind of it.
Like I thought it was going to be, like you're saying, like you could tell she was guilty. I thought you'd be able to tell it more in the sense that she was like, maybe starts crying, or there's like more to it, and she wants to be on her own for a bit, but she doesn't. Yeah. She's just there again, going, "Oh, we've got need to keep a lid on this," and maybe it was Penny.
But yeah, true. She is also trying to cover her tracks.
Yeah, I think that is fine, but I think there still should have been more of a, "Oh no, this I've gone to. This is awful," and I don't think there was any.
Yeah,
this is awful.
It's a shame we didn't get that. We get a really great scene with Remy later on, which I think was nearly sent me under.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something similar to that from Chelsea, I think, would have... Because fuck me, the hate online for this character now, Jesus.
Like,
I've seen some pretty hateful things written on Twitter before now, but geez.
Well,
this is another level.
I think you're spot on. Something like that Remy thing where she goes... And she's on her own. She has to have a minute herself, even though she's trying to be professional. She's holding it together, but then she has to go and break down because it's awful and she's had to do it. And then if Chelsea had just done that and then almost allowed that to happen for a minute, then composed herself, and then it's like, right, okay, problem solving. I've got to try and cover my tracks, sort this out. That would have made the whole thing work a lot better. I think we missed something there where she's like, oh no, this is the worst.
Yeah, just lets the horror of what's happened just kind of seep in.
And it let us all know, like, oh right, even though we don't like her and we're not supposed to, there's something else there. And I think not having that didn't help this week for me.
No, not at all. Because, of course, she never meant that to happen. Of course, she's as evil as this character is. She's nobody that evil in Soap Land, really. It's...
Paul Robinson, top villain of all time.
Top villain, but...
So do you want to talk, let's talk about it. We'll kind of say what happens. There won't be any jokes in this bit because it's not funny. We are not going to be able to make light of it. But I do want to say how good some people were in this bit because it was well done for the most part.
Yes, it was really well done. So, yeah. Systems are going down left, right, fucking center. Krista is preparing for a meeting with the execs to roll out Lost's lie-in around the world. Chelsea's just constantly sniping. He's not getting her anywhere. So she's like, fuck's sake, there's a problem with the steam room. Can you go down there and sort it out? And she's like, yeah, I've got 20 minutes. I'll go down there right now. And Krista gets locked in the steam room. And this was the cliffhanger on Tuesday. Now, we said before about Haz that we don't know where the storyline's going. And maybe I'm just too used to Neighbours over the years. You get a cliffhanger where someone's in danger, and then the next episode, 30 seconds, that danger's gone.
9 times out of 10 that happens.
I was fully expecting that this time. I was not prepared for what was about to happen on Wednesday's episode.
Okay.
And... So I watched this on my lunch break at work.
Oh. Why?
Because I don't always get a lunch break at work. Like sometimes I'm working a cafe and sometimes it's busy and sometimes you don't really get the opportunity to sit down. But it was pretty quiet. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to sit down and watch an episode of Neighbours. I'm going to meet something. I'm going to actually... So I actually got the time and I was really looking forward to it. And then 21 minutes later, I came back a changed man on this shift. And I actually told my colleague as well. She's like, oh, what's happening in Neighbours? I went, oh, last night this happened. And then I watched the episode and then I come back and she goes, oh, so what happened? And I just went, I just gave her a look like, please don't ask me any questions. And she avoided me for about half an hour.
Standard.
For about half an hour, I could not talk to anyone. I was that just shook up about it. Just because he wasn't expecting it. I was making food and stuff and I was just kind of keeping myself to myself for about half an hour. Then I went, I think I'm okay to talk now.
Don't watch Neighbours before or during work. That is something people found that out during, you know, David the other month.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people who watched that at lunchtime.
We knew that was happening because of spoilers and because they signposted it and this, that, and the other. Because I think over the years you watch these things where, oh, Harold's fallen in the road, a car's come in, and then 10 seconds later he's back up or the car stops and it's fine.
Yeah.
I fully expecting her to collapse but be fine.
Well, again, with what I was saying earlier, like with how the week was going, we've just been at a party and it's been good fun and whatever. Also, they can't do they can't do something else big and dramatic to this family because they've only just had that last one. So these were my arguments for those kind of things. I don't think they needed to do this, but obviously they did. I'm conscious of saying obviously too much because I don't like it when people do that. So she gets locked in. That's the cliffhanger, as you say, on Tuesday. Paul's back Wednesday. And he's like, what's going on? All the systems are going down. Problem down at the sauna. He goes down to sort it out. Krista's face is constantly, uh-oh, throughout this. And he goes down and he manages to get in. Luckily, the system reboots just as he's trying to explain.
Yeah, they try and explain this away later on. Like, Kara was like, I'm waiting for IT, so I'm not doing anything. And then he calls Kara and goes, fucking reboot the system now. And she does, and he finally gets in. Because he sees Krista's hand on the thing. He's like, shit, someone's in there.
So she's down and out. He gets her out. They call the paramedics and that. They get her off to the hospital. Bit of a panic, but she's okay. She's awake and everything. Off she goes. Gets to the hospital. Paul stays with her the whole time, which is nice to see. It shows they're, like, getting back on some sort of relationship kind of level where he respects her and she's been doing all the great work and everything. Meanwhile, Chelsea's doing the presentation.
Yep, she's taken over
that, which is what she wanted. She wanted to do that, got away with it. She's doing that. It goes really well, but then we all find out that Krista's in the hospital.
Yeah, because that's what Chelsea wanted to do, right? She wanted to get her out of the way so she could take over.
And take the credit for all the presentation.
So keep her busy for something that was, you know, she wanted to keep her busy for something longer than 20 minutes. So she would be late back for it. And then she'd have to save the day. And then she'd be in the good books.
That was the point, yeah.
So Remy's like, right, I need to check on the baby now. This was the real, from this moment on, this was real heartbreaking. Remy was so good in this scene.
She was really good. However.
So good.
It seemed that I don't know about this situation or whatever. It seemed really quick, this, to me. She didn't seem to try a few times or see what she could do or do anything. It was very much checked.
And then I think that's what made it heartbreaking for me, because Remy, she is a seasoned doctor. She is.
Maybe,
She is a seasoned doctor, and I think her reaction, she knows straight away. She knows straight away.
True.
And I think you can see her go, fuck. And she pretends to carry on kind of doing stuff because you can see her scrambling her head going,
moves the screen so that no one can see it.
Trying to take a moment for herself here to go, fuck, I need to break this to Krista. To someone I actually, you know, it's not just some rando off the street. It's somebody I know.
Yeah.
And it's just so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
From then on in, Krista and again Remy's so like you can tell she's a seasoned doctor because later on Krista starts throwing. She starts shouting at Paul, going, "Fucking sort this out!" Fuck, like she starts going through this horrible kind of manic thing, and she's like starts blaming Paul for everything, and she realizes what's going on, and she just distracts straight away.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
No, that's
I didn't like the distraction bit with the suit thing.
Distraction's
great. Suit thing was so lame, I thought.
He struggled to get through the door, so that's why.
Why would your sleeve rip like when you butt knocking a door open? If you caught it on something, I didn't like the suit. I get the distraction idea. I thought the suit thing. I like Paul's line about my grandma taught me how to sew. Great little.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's a nice little line. But yeah. I just thought that's just an excuse for a distraction rather than the using it as a tool rather than it being natural, I thought. I didn't like the suit bit.
No, I like that. I thought it was good. And again, I think it shows you how good Remy is at her job. So she sees that happening and just goes, distract. Because that's what you meant to do that with perverts, right? And like people who are harassing.
No, mate. What a weird thing to say. That's honestly the oddest segue I've ever heard anyone do on any TV show/podcast ever. It's so odd.
No, like, not necessarily perfect, but like, if like someone's harassing you or you see someone being harassed,
right,
like you're meant to go up and confuse them and say something.
Well, you've confused me. Well done.
So you're like, so say you're witnessing someone being harassed. You go up to that person and go, did you wear a coat today? Like, you meant to say something really completely just to confuse them and take them out of their train of thinking.
Where have you heard this? Where have you got this from?
I don't know. I think it's because I take public transport. I think I've seen it on public transport or I've heard it on a podcast. I don't know.
If you see something on public transport, doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Like, that's a good, like...
No, I mean,
you're saying there, like, once somebody asks someone, are you wearing a coat? And you've gone, what a great way to get out of trouble.
No, not that I've seen the harassment. Oh. But, like, I've seen, like, posters on, like, the transport saying, like, do this in this situation, confuse them or whatever it's meant to be. So, yeah, you're meant to ask them a question that isn't, like, anything related to what they're talking about.
What, you're on for your tea?
Yeah, we're on for your tea, yeah. That's how we distract our guests.
We do it all the time on here. That's what I do when you start making really weird segues and telling really weird stories. What, you're on for your tea? Good work.
So, yeah, that's what you're meant to do, I think. So, yeah, she does that very, very well. And then she goes to take a moment for herself. And, yeah, that's what was missing with Chelsea.
Yep.
And then you have to go through this horrifying thing because she still needs to give birth. And, yeah, just...
Yeah, it's the worst.
Absolute powerhouse performance.
They were all brilliant, weren't they? Because they all did their job, the actors, I mean, really well. Like, Krista is brilliant in it. Mm-hmm. Like, all like her facial reactions and watched everything about it was so good. Like you say, Remy, brilliant. And then Paul, I think, brilliant as well. Because it's a really awful situation. It's awkward for him because how he's been with that character in the past. It's weird because of they all kind of still blame him a bit for David. It was all really good. Like, well, like those three people, well done. Super good. Yeah. And the writing of that, I know I'm moaning a bit about the suit, but really good. Like, I do stand by the fact that I wish it had happened in another week when it was on its own maybe a bit more. That's the only thing I would say. Yeah. And then that is the worst. And then you've got the inevitable fallout, I suppose, of that as well. Like, where something else that was bad. Okay. What is Leo's role in this TV program?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand what we're doing with the guy.
Yeah, I knew we were going there. Yeah, what, like,
what's he doing?
He's never there. He's just around, isn't he? But he's never around when you fucking need him. He's never around when you fucking need him. But he's in so many pointless scenes. Yeah, I don't get, unless they're trying to build conflict between Leo and Krista down the line, like, he's late.
Didn't seem to be, did it? It was like when he does eventually show up, he comes and does everything that he's kind of supposed to. But it was like, where is he? Because he does. It hurts him a bit that he doesn't live on the street, so he's not involved in things like that. He's obviously now moved out of the hotel, so he's not there. I don't know where he actually lives.
Assume in the vineyard.
Well, that's a vineyard. Has it got a house?
Yeah, I might have a little room upstairs
maybe,
or something.
But where's then it was like, why are you not answering your phone? So if he'd been at the vineyard, and then he says, like, when he finally turns up, someone says, oh, they've been trying to ring you, Chris is at the hospital. And he says, oh, my phone's at the vineyard. Well, surely you were at the vineyard. Why haven't you answered the phone at the vineyard?
So he knows he's left it halfway through what his journey back or whatever. He's gone, oh, fuck, I've left my phone. You turn back for it, right?
But also, while he was there, because Paul's rung him for hours by, like, that's what we're meant to believe it. She's been ringing him this whole time, doesn't answer. Why? What are you doing? Yeah. It makes no, like...
He's a useless human being, isn't he?
He's awful. Where's his kid? Because his kid's not with Nicolette and Jane because they're sorting out... They end up sorting out a load of wealth, like the sorry basket and everything. It's not sorry basket, whatever it's called. Condolences sort of thing. Like, I don't understand what we're doing with this guy. Because now he's in another, like, he was a bit off with the David stuff. He didn't seem that bothered. He disappeared for a week and then he was like, oh, yeah, I'm all right now. Is that what's happening this time? Another really big, awful storyline, and he's nowhere to be seen. And
the bit that really, really annoyed me, I can understand like the being late, and I was like, oh well, they're just trying to bond Paul and Christy.
Yeah,
that's, you know, Paul is the one who has to stay, and that kind of bonds them. I get why it was just them two and Leah wasn't there. But then she comes out of hospital. She goes back to the share house. Leo's not like, you're not staying with me. Come stay with me. He drops her off, puts her on the couch and goes, getting off now, love.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Woman has just gone through the most horrifying thing that you could probably ever go through as a human being.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you'll be all right. Has his ear. See you later. You're on the couch now. He'll make you a coffee. See you later.
It was so bad.
Yeah. I honestly hope she gets rid of him. I honestly hope that this causes a rift. Like, the fact that now Paul and Krista are super close.
Yeah.
Builds a rift between her and Leo.
I mean, at the moment, like, we've said it about all the characters in the past, and we're like, they're not really in a storyline at the moment, and hopefully we did it with Sadie quite a lot. She was just kind of in other people's storylines, and we kept saying, oh, we hope she gets something soon. She has. Brilliant. And they might do that with Leo, but at the moment, he's not in anything, and he just seems like a spare part that he's causing more problems than good things at the moment. Guy's got to go.
Yeah, and I don't understand why they brought him back. I really don't. But he does kind of make amends with Paul later on. Once he's dumped his girlfriend off at the share house with Haz, who just walks off as well.
Haz is like, do you want me to do it? He says a completely wrong thing at some point, which is absolute Haz clanger. I mean, okay. But then, and he does try a little bit. He says, do you want me to get you anything? Do you want me to make something? And because he drops that clanger, that's like the little, no, I'd rather be by myself.
To be honest, I'll just be on my own. Leo does go off and talks to Paul and says like, so thank you for that. And this needs to be a turning point now. And they hug. And this is the kind of thawing of their relationship a little bit, maybe. Yeah.
Well, he kind of says
I hope it's not. I honestly hope it's not. I honestly hope that there is a bit of a rift now.
I don't. I think it's just because I'm a bit fed up of Leo. And I don't want it to be going round again because we've just done that with David. We kind of sorting it out. I don't want it to just keep rolling round, repeating stuff. I'm not really interested.
Yeah. Paul is also very determined to get to the bottom of how this happened and why.
Yeah.
He drags in Kara and kind of interrogates her a little bit about what happened. At this point, I don't know if Chelsea just thinks of this on the spot or not, but she just goes, oh, it was that girl we fired, Penny.
Yeah. Well, she's scrambling at this stage, isn't she? She's quite good at coming up with stuff. So she's kind of trying to, you know, plug that narrative a little bit and say that's what's probably happened. Which is okay. I don't mind that. Like if Paul's trying to sort it out and she's trying to cover her tracks, that might go into next week a little bit. But I'll be honest, I am more looking forward to the robbery next week, the stuff with maybe Sadie and Byron next week. Maybe we'll get Therese or Toddy coming home because we won't talk about it, but Carl's back without Susan.
Yeah, it was so strange that. It was so strange. They went, oh, Carl's come to get Susan back. And you're like, oh, great. Susan's back. And then Carl shows up and goes, oh, Susan decided to stay out. But there was no need to say any of that.
No.
Just don't. You don't have to say, oh, Susan's coming back. Just say she's not coming back yet. I didn't even know Carl had gone away.
Yeah. So he went. He was doing a bit with Susan. But then what? Yeah, there was no need to say it. They can cause more problems for themselves than they need to. And then if Susan's not coming back for another couple of weeks, let Fletch have another 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
He's probably got podcasts to go on things. Let him have another 2 weeks. Let him do that. So they were doing that. I don't want to talk about it because it's boring. But then they did the same thing with Mike and Jane. So Jane's comes in for no reason and goes, oh, missing Mike. Nicolette's like, give him a show on the internet.
I know, I love how that's... So Jane, she goes, oh, do you know what? We never get any quality time on the phone together, like because Mike's so busy and this, that, and the other. And Nicolette goes, well, if you try tripping for him, that'll keep him on the phone.
That's a mum. It was sort of like, it was funny, but then, and Jane was like, no, weird. But then,
such weird advice to get from your daughter.
Yeah, but then all it made me think of again was, yeah, they are still like together and engaged and Guy Pearce, but they haven't seen each other in, I have no idea how long now.
5-6 months?
Yeah, and there is no reason at the moment why Jane is in Australia and not with Guy Pearce. She is not doing anything. They thought of the excuse of build the building site. She had to sort that out. That was over New Year.
Yeah. It's
since
now
New
March.
Year, she has not done anything.
It's nearly the end of March.
It's, yeah. So, like, there was the David thing, so maybe she wanted to stick around for a bit. There is no reason for her to be there. Is Sam around? Don't know. But if you're getting really married to this person and you've not seen them for this amount of time, it's, call it a day. I mean, if my fiance was in a completely different country, whether she'd been deported or not, you'd just call it a day. Why put anyone through it anymore? Everyone else is tired of hearing about it. You two are probably, like, seeing other people and not telling the other one. So why continue it? Why drag it out?
Do you think that's what Mike's doing? Do you think he's...
No, I don't, because he's Guy Pearson. What a legend. But saying, oh, he's just on his way to the mechanics because he's got a carburetor issue or whatever it was. What are we doing? And how long are we going to do it for?
Do you think, talking about hacks, do you think Jane's going to go through with, like, a nude live show? Do you think that's going to happen?
And then it gets put out there.
That could.
You know what? I think there will be more hacking incidents, and that kind of fits.
Yeah, because like I said, like, the cliffhanger for this week is Aaron getting a phone call, and it's David's voice.
What are your thoughts on that? So you think it's something to do with the a hacking kind of thing? Do we need it? What's going on?
Some sort of hacker, yeah. I honestly think that's where it's going. I think it would tie in quite nicely. It's just some guy fucking with people. Or girl.
Do you think it's weird that Aaron talks to the drinks diva's van rather than like a gravestone or something? It's that van is still parked out front on the street with like David still painted on it, and he's still just stood in the street chatting to it.
You'd move that van around the corner, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
If he was Mel and go, listen, I'll maybe move that around the corner so your dead husband isn't staring in your face every fucking morning.
Every day. And then we get the call, hey boo, how are you? What are you having for your tea? Yeah. Just a bit.
Do you think it's recording or like you can get like AI voices? Like, do you think they're doing an AI storyline? Because AI can do everything now these days, can't it?
Deep faking going on.
Deep faking, yeah. Could be all that kind of stuff going on. I mean, I'm very interested to see where this is all going. And I think over the last couple of weeks, Neighbours has proved that it doesn't go in its usual places.
No, and I think that's a good thing for us.
Oh, yeah, that's
fantastic. We come on and chat about it, and it's nice to chat about it and come up with our own ideas. It's nice to see other people online. If you have got any ideas or if you want to ask us anything, what we think about things, hit us up on the socials and everything, because that is always good. That's part of the fun of watching Neighbours and doing this podcast, isn't it, really?
Something I have discovered over the last week as well, and it'll cost you £1 a month to access this, but you can do like a big group chat on Patreon. I figured this out last week. So I did send a message. We talked about maybe doing live shows in the future. Not you. You're not a Patreon.
No, but come on.
Come on, £1 a month, Adam, that's all it is.
I'm not made money.
But you can do like a big group chat on there. So I did one. I had sent a message out last week going, hey, you know, if you were to do a live show, just want to kind of get where everyone is based at the moment. And so I got a few responses to that. But yeah, so come and get involved with the big group chat on there. £1 a month will get you access to that, as well as video access, early access, and bonus content.
Well, let me know when that is, and I might be there for the next one. Anyway, that's us for another week, right?
That is us for another week. Monday, the 1st of April, you've got some bonus coming out. You've got our chat with Charlie DiStefano.
Spend some time with some April Fools. I almost got put on the trailer, but I changed it.
it's a really great chat. If you go onto our link tree, Adam doesn't know what link tree is, to be honest. But I have linked Charlie's film, Is This Forever, on there. It's 25 minute film. It's a short film. I'd highly recommend you watch that before you listen to our chat with Charlie, because we talk about that quite in depth.
Or watch it, because we'll talk about it on there. Watch it after. Doesn't matter.
But it's right on there, the link. It's really good. The link is right on there. It's the first thing that will come up on our link tree, and you can watch it straight from there. I'd highly recommend you do that over your Easter weekends. Enjoy your Easter weekends. We will see you next week for usual recordings, usual business.
We'll see.
From Finnish business, maybe. See you next week.